Well, we now continue with the Lord's instruction to his apostles. But this time the focus is on how they may speak, or how they should speak for the Lord. The challenge, of course, was to be unafraid of difficulties. But this time the challenge is a little bit different. It's how do we proclaim the gospel? Well, there are many ways of proclaiming the gospel, obviously. Sometimes it's the content, sometimes it's the context, sometimes it's providing a challenge. But in this particular segment here of the Lord's teaching, the focus is to teach the disciples how they can speak, as it were, in the light. Well, what does this mean? So we have to understand the imagery of the Lord, the language of the Lord, because if we don't understand the expressions, we're going to get stuck along the way. For example, he said, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. Now, not that the Lord had conversation in the dark of night. That's not what it means. What it really means is that what the Lord has taught them privately. For example, in Matthew 13, the Lord Jesus would speak to the people in parables. Then the disciples would come to him and they would ask him, what does that parable mean? And then we read how the Lord Jesus would explain the meaning of all the parables to the disciples privately. And the word privately here, the expression here is in the dark. In other words, others didn't get a chance to hear it. So the Lord would speak to them, in the evening time or whatever he had free time. And then he will teach them privately. And their challenge is to speak in the light. And they are encouraged to speak the truth publicly. In other words, there's private teaching, there's public speaking. And they are to speak with clarity, as it were, with light. And then we read another expression. What you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. When the Lord said hear in the ear, it literally means personal interaction with the disciples. You must not think that the Lord Jesus only preached to the masses, then the disciples heard what they could, and that's all there is to it. Oh, there is much more to it. So, John, the disciple, drew very close to the Lord Jesus. And so he became known as the disciple whom the Lord Jesus loved. Then there was Peter, and there was James, and there was John. And each one would come to the Lord sometimes differently for different reasons on different occasions. And he would speak to that one in the ear. That's what it means, privately. So it's a very similar idea. But the challenge is not just to listen, to hear, but to preach on the housetops. The same thing, the idea, we speak in the light, wherever you are, in a housetops. In the early days, many, many places had flat roofs. Our roofs are not flat. But many, many houses in the ancient days were flat roofs. And so people would gather together, sometimes for a family gathering, for a family, big family dinner, or sometimes have a wedding function or a birthday celebration, whatever. The point of it all is that if they are given a chance to speak, they are to seize that opportunity to share their faith in the Lord Jesus. So the expression, in the light or on the housetops. Now, that was how they are to minister, how they are to preach. And they must preach courageously. Of course, consistency and faithfulness are all part of it. Now, when you are speaking well, you're bound to draw attention. People will come to inquire. You will be seen as successful. And that is where the problems will come. For example, the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests, all of them were jealous of the Lord Jesus. Jealous in the wrong kind of jealousy. They were jealous that he was so popular. Multitudes came to hear him and to be healed by him. You can be very sure none of them would be able to pack in a synagogue full of people, let alone a multitude. Well, there he is. But the reality of it all is that jealousy can become very, very negative and aggressive and hostile. And so the Lord once again warned them that they would be brought to before councils. And what they can do is quite fearsome in that sense, right? For example, they are told that they may destroy you. They may kill the body, as it were, right? So this is something to be understood and to be fought against. There must be strength, fortitude, faith, and the faithfulness of the disciple to withstand all of these things here. And if they start fearing men, then they will find that they are unable to go beyond a certain level. The challenge was to not to be overcome by fear. And the Lord said, if ever they want to look at the person, they should fear. And it should be, they should fear God. If there's anyone to be feared, it will be the Lord himself, because he has the authority and the power to destroy both body and soul, and even send someone to hell, if that is to be the judgment. So we must not allow people to intimidate us. What can they do to the body? They can harm the body, they can kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul or the spirit of the person. So why should we fear them? Right? So then we must also remember this. How do we cope when we have suffering? We must understand and never lose sight of the fact that we are of value to God. Now, in the early days, sparrows were, you know, were very, very common things. In fact, I've actually eaten sparrows before in Myanmar, for example. And sparrows are very, very, it's literally the food of the poor, right? And so sparrows are sold. What are they sold for? Food. So you can buy a couple of sparrows for a single copper coin, which is very cheap, right? And you know, you could buy them because sparrows are all over the world and they are easily caught and they're very small, and it's not going to be able to fill the stomach of a person who is very hungry. But when you are very poor and you cannot afford anything, sparrows would be food. And the Lord tells us that even if one sparrow were to fall to the ground, it would be simply because God knows it, allows for it, the sparrow, but it's his time to die, and the Lord has to will it. So if the Lord looks after the humble sparrows, the poor sparrows, why would not the Lord look after us? We are of more value than the sparrows. Now, of course, some people, the Lord was saying to the people, some people are very concerned about the number of hair follicles they have on their head. But the Lord warns, tells them, God knows the exact number of hairs on the head. I think none of us know. The general estimate is that we may have 100,000 follicles on the head. That's one general estimate. Some have less than that. Some have hardly anything. Well, whatever the case may be, the point is that the Lord was trying to tell his disciples that they are worth it all. The Lord knows every hair follicle that we have, whether one is still dark or healthy or weak and brittle or fallen off. It's all known to the Lord. We are of more value than sparrows. Sometimes when we are persecuted, we almost feel that we are valueless. That's why people persecute us the way they do. But that's not necessarily true. The challenge is to learn how to endure, how to cope, how to continue to preach the gospel in the light, on housetops, faithfully, courageously. Well, how do we get further encouragement? Well, the Lord Jesus tells them this very, very, very clear but firm word. Whoever confesses me before men, bravely, courageously, clearly, confidently, well, the Lord will confess us before the Father in heaven. As much as we speak of our faith in the Lord, our confidence in Him, our trust in Him, bearing witness for the Lord. But the Lord is not ashamed to call us His brethren. He will point out to the Father that these are His true brethren. I think that is the whole challenge. And that, to me, is a very uplifting thought, that the Lord will speak our name on our behalf to God the Father. But in the event that people deny the Lord, now this becomes a bit of a challenge here, because as we take a look at this idea of denial, we cannot help but remember that the Lord Jesus warned Peter that he will end up denying him thrice. And Peter did that. He denied the Lord. Does this apply here? Actually, in the case of Peter, it's really an exception rather than the rule. The denial that we are talking about here is not a denial that comes when a person is under great pressure, right? The denial is one that is deliberate. Take, for example, in John 6:66. There were people who called themselves disciples. They followed the Lord Jesus. And when the Lord Jesus explained that He is the bread of God, He is the bread of life, He is the bread of heaven, the people didn't like all that. All they wanted was just simply food and the Lord to be the king who will fight for them. That's all they wanted. Well, they ended up denying the Lord, walking away from Him. They never came back to see the Lord anymore. That's the kind of denial that the Lord is talking about, right? So we have a very classic statement in 2 Timothy 2, where the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy these words. This is a faithful saying. If we died with Him, in other words, we are identified with Him in faith, that is the Lord Jesus, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, through endure suffering, endure persecution, we shall reign with Him. If we deny Him, now the word denial here is again the same kind of thought that the Lord Jesus Christ talked about in Matthew 10. It's rejection, it is deliberate denial, there is no pressure, we just become disenchanted with the Lord and we deny that we ever believed in Him. Now, that is the kind of denial. Then, of course, the Lord has no choice but to deny us because we have denied Him. But if for some reason we don't have the strength, we don't have the courage, and we end up being faithless, our faith failed us at that point of time, as it were, well, how would the Lord respond? And we are greatly encouraged to know that the Lord will remain faithful. He has committed Himself to us. He's already promised that we would be His children. He's promised that He will be with us all the way. He cannot and will not deny Himself. There are times where we may lack that faith, but the Lord understands. Now, this is not an excuse not to develop faith, but it is rather a word of encouragement that though sometimes we may falter and we may fail, the Lord will be there for us and He will not deny us. He will not deny Himself and the word that He has given to us. And so we may take heart. But what is our challenge? To me, the challenge in this particular text is to grow our faith, to strengthen our spirit of endurance and courage, to determine within our own hearts that we will be steadfast and faithful as best we can. And if we, for some reason, have a lapse here and there, and we end up not being able to be faithful, well, we can be comforted in the thought that the Lord will not reject us, will not deny us in any way. We will be with Him in paradise with the Lord Jesus forever. Thank God for such a wonderful and understanding Savior. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for the challenge to share our faith openly in the light, on the housetops. Teach us how we can speak of our faith anywhere, everywhere. Teach us how we can do this effectively. Father, we pray that You will encourage and You will strengthen us in our commitment to cultivate our faith. Enable us to become more steadfast in all the work that we seek to do for You. We give thanks that we can learn further courage and strength along the way. Encourage our hearts, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus.